What if dinosaurs evolved from humans? What does an MP3 taste like? All of these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Life. Yo! Hey everyone, welcome back to This Paranormal Life, the comedy paranormal podcast where every week myself and this guy, Kit Greer, investigate a brand new paranormal case and come to a conclusion as to whether or not it is truly paranormal!
As you can tell, guys, we are in a rush, so we do need to get to the end of the podcast as soon as possible.
It's a double note.
Yeah. Thanks for listening this week.
Welcome to the show, guys. Hopefully you have listened before, and if you're a newcomer, then welcome.
Then off.
Whoa, listen,
we've been going for 3 years. You've been ignoring us for three straight years. You think now is the time? I know you're trying to cut me off because I'm getting heated, but I want to get heated because they are nagging us. This is like the people who are leaving dog poop on my doorstep and ringing the doorbell. This is the newcomers are them staying at the door for the first time.
I'm ready. That's such a ballsy move to drop down a flaming bag of dog poop, ring the doorbell, and then just stand there and wait for them to come
out. Because you're built like Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
To all the newcomers, to all the day ones, welcome to the podcast. As I said, my name is Roy Powers. I'm going to be your chief investigator for this evening. This week we have a listener submission, which we always love. Lucas Galino emailed into thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. Immediately, this email got my attention. He wrote, "You guys think you're cool, huh? Think you're pretty clever given double yeses to alien sightings with 200 witnesses? Well, guess what? It's time for the first cryptid double yes since the Flatwoods Monster, the Enfield Horror." So first off, I saw the word Enfield, and obviously if you're in the paranormal profession...
That means one thing.
It's the Enfield Hauntings.
Yeah.
So when I saw this, I was like, there's a monster involved? Did I miss something? Did something slip through the cracks? But no, we are talking about Enfield, Illinois in America.
So whenever, you know, the Brits went over to America for the first time, took the English names with them and called it the same place. Very confusing. Because whenever I try to get the weather and I type in London and Apple Weather has the gall to suggest London, Ontario first, I'm like, no!
Absolutely not. It's so confusing.
I'm glad that this is a new story because I investigated the Enfield hauntings and it was very possible I dropped the ball and missed an entire monster.
Or also very possible that I didn't listen throughout the whole episode. And I think that we're doing this for the first time. The Enfield hauntings. No, we are going to Illinois, Enfield, 1973. It's a rainy night around 9:30. When Henry McDaniel and his wife were driving back home to their kids. As the car rolls into the driveway, they head up the path to the front door. Huh, that's strange. Every single light in the house is on. What are these kids up to? The pair unlock the front door and head inside. Kids, we're home! Their two kids, Lil and Henry, run downstairs. But something's wrong. They're both in tears, completely distraught. What the heck is the matter, kids? The children told him about something outside the front door that was trying to get in.
What?
They said they couldn't see anything, but they could hear a horrible scratching noise, like an animal was clawing at the door.
Whoa.
Mr. McDaniel laughed. You kids have too active an imagination with your Pokemon and your Beyblades. I think it's time for bed.
Didn't you say it was 1973?
Oh, shit, yeah. There's some... Fuck, yeah. What was the Pokemon
Pogs?
Of the
19...
Yeah.
I don't know.
With your hula hoops and your... Whatever the... that thing is where you hit a hoop with a stick.
I have no idea. I think you've gone too far back in time, though.
You are right, to be fair. It's 1970s, so these kids probably don't have any games like we had. They don't have any fun, let's be honest. Their idea of fun was clocking off from the factory floors at about 8 at night and then just fighting each other with rocks. Those are children's games.
Yeah, I think they ate the weakest as well.
Of course, to become stronger. Mr. McDaniel opened the front door, showed the kids there was nothing there, and they calmed down. So Mrs. McDaniel walked the kids upstairs while her husband got settled. But while he was taking his coat off, he heard a noise at the front door. a horrible scraping sound, like something was trying to get inside. He slowly walked over to the front door and cracked it open to peek outside. It was dark, but in the moonlight, he could see something truly horrible. A demonic creature, hunched over, clawing at the door. It was a dark grayish-colored beast with three legs and two pink eyes the size of flashlights.
Two pink eyes? And what'd you say, three legs?
Three legs, motherfucker!
Not even an even amount. That's demonic.
That's an impractical amount of legs. There's no way you
can't move faster.
It's only going to be a hindrance. At no point in the evolution of humans did we even veer towards a third leg.
No.
How is that going to help you? Give me a third eye. Give me a second dick. I don't need a third leg.
So you can pee twice as fast?
Exactly.
How many eyes did you say?
Two eyes.
Only two. Okay.
Eyes. The size of flashlights, though.
Shit. So
like a freaking fly. You know how flies have those giant crazy eyes?
Yeah.
Sort of like that. He immediately slammed the door, locking it several times. His daughter appeared at the top of the stairs. What is it, Daddy? Mr. McDaniel turned. Everybody get the f*** inside! Lock the doors!
We are inside.
He ran up the stairs, opened his wardrobe, grabbed his 22 millimeter.
Help. What is that, a pistol?
I think so, yeah. I don't know a lot about guns.
Isn't it weird that with guns, it's like, the smaller the gun, the more it's like, why do you have that?
Yeah, that's a sneaky little thing.
Because a shotgun is like, you're a man of the earth, a farmer.
Of course, yeah.
A practical man looks after his family. If you have a pistol, you have a piece.
You have one of those like tiny guns that like Victorian prostitutes would hide in their ankles, like have strapped to their thighs. Why? What's wrong with you? Why are you hiding that in your sock drawer? That's super weird.
Yeah, your gun says a lot about you. Also, if you have a revolver, that's like you're some kind of like Hunter S. Thompson, modern day cowboy guy.
Yeah, which I would have pegged Mr. McDaniel for, because, you know, it's Illinois. He seems like a somewhat of a southern gentleman. Wait, where's Illinois? Hey, Siri. What the f*** am I talking to? I just got looking at the floor.
Rory just looked at the sky as if he was praying.
Something answered. Hey, Siri, where are you? What's going
Siri's
on?
Siri's in the corner of the room with a predator-style f***ing night vision scanning the room.
Okay, here it is. Hey, Siri, where is Illinois? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we are not looking at a southern gentleman.
Okay.
He's a northern boy with a very northern gun, a 22 millimeter. He grabbed his gun and headed back to the front door. Without a moment of hesitation, he threw the door open and unloaded into the darkness.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. We really are in Chicago.
Later, Henry would say, "When I fired that first shot, I knew I hit it." Allegedly, the beast...
The first shot? Why do you keep going then?
You gotta make sure it doesn't get up.
That's true.
Allegedly, the beast hissed at him almost like a wildcat before hopping away into the darkness of the night.
Like a wildcat.
Henry claims that the creature took off in the direction of the railroad, covering over 50 feet in only 3 leaps. That's that third leg kicking in.
Right, we're starting to see the benefits here.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of hopping day to day, but that's because I'm a two-legged chump.
Yeah.
You give me that third leg, I'm going to be like a goddamn kangaroo man.
And we have, of course, you mentioned the leaps. We have, of course, covered other leaping cryptids in this paranormal life history, such as Spring-Heeled Jack. I don't remember the others, but there have been others that jump around.
Phantom kangaroos, we investigated.
Phantom kangaroos.
Might just be those two.
Might
now that we
be
think
those
about
two.
It.
So not especially common, but an established cryptid method of transport.
Yeah. Bigfoot remains grounded. He's a pretty bottom-heavy guy.
He can speed walk, that's about, he can't run, he's a bit top heavy.
So Henry decided at this point it was best to leave the chase here and call the police.
Hello, Sheriff? You're gonna want to get down here and bring the boys too. You're gonna need them.
State troopers arrived and interviewed Mr. McDaniel along with his kids, who told them about the strange scratching noises they had heard before their parents had even come home. The state troopers also searched the surroundings of the house, looking for any evidence of the creature's existence. And unbelievably, they found some. Scratches were discovered along the sides of the house, along with a set of footprints that looked similar to a dog's, except there were six toes instead of four. And of course, prints for three legs.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So it looks like dog paws. That's good to establish. It we can very easily picture that in our minds.
You don't even have to picture it in your mind. I have an artist's illustration of what the beast could have possibly looked like.
Very interesting.
This thing is scary. This looks like the creepy ass fish that are at the very, very bottom of the ocean. God's mistakes, I call them. Yeah, you're going to want to see this.
Oh, no. They have illustrated this in some kind of paranormal fog as well. Its eyes glowing literally like flashlights.
Yeah.
This is hideous. It has paws like a dog. It has thighs of a thick human.
It is dummy thick.
A tail that turns into a leg. So that's the third leg somehow. It has little Tyrannosaurus Rex arms.
Yeah.
But the body of a worm. And the head of a worm also.
Pretty much. Very wormy.
Disgusting. Now, I will just, you know, we always have to cover all bases of probability here, Rory. And I would like to flag something that is possible. And we need to get it out there.
Sure.
If it has paws like a dog.
Yep.
Is it a three-legged dog?
I mean, you're seeing this thing. I don't think it is a three-legged dog. Usually, you know, you could say, yeah, there's a chance it's not an extra leg. It's missing a leg.
Yeah.
But what about the toes? Six toes? I actually looked into this because I wanted to know how weird it is for something to have six toes. Basically, no animal in the world has six toes.
Nothing needs six toes.
Aside from some genetic mishaps.
Hey, we don't need five toes.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
That little guy down there, he's doing nothing.
Absolutely jack shit. Which one of the piggies goes to the market?
What?
When the thing with the toes, which little piggy goes to the market? Is it the first one or the last one?
I don't know.
Whatever one goes to the
market.
You've
got a gun to my head. Which of the piggies? I don't know.
Weird German accent for some reason. Which of the little piggies goes to the market? Yeah, your point being, it does jack all. It does diddly. I could wake up one morning and it would be gone. I probably wouldn't notice it.
You probably fall over instantly. Oh, he was doing an awful lot, it turns out.
This son of a bitch having six toes makes it the, I'm pretty sure, the only creature in the world to have six toes.
Interesting.
Aside from maybe frogs. Maybe there was something about frogs.
Maybe there's a lot of frogs in the world, so you might want to know if there's some frogs with six toes.
But frogs don't have claws. So if there's a creature that was clawing at the door, it obviously wasn't a frog.
Although it might have read something about
toads. He is hopping, though. He is hopping. Yeah.
Could be some kind of toad. Yeah.
Maybe, possibly. He did hop away. Mr. McDaniels pleaded with the officers to believe him. Look, I know it sounds crazy, but honestly, this creature is still out there, alive. The officer replies, "Don't worry, Mr. McDaniels, we're handling the situation." Then he fired up his radio. "Sheriff Poshard here. We got a 1091V. Animal attack. Creature has left the site."
"Is this the second case?"
"That's right. We're at the second location."
"The second case?"
"The second case." Mr. McDaniel froze. Wait, a second location? It turns out, just 30 minutes earlier, their 10-year-old neighbor, Greg Garrett, was out playing in the backyard of his rural home when a gray, twisted beast jumped out from the darkness to attack him. Greg said the creature stomped on his foot with its claws and shredded one of his shoes.
What? This thing got very up close.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
According to Greg, the creature was 5 feet tall, three legs, huge red eyes. Oh, that was the end. Huge red eyes.
That's enough. That's fine.
So what are you thinking, Kit? This is what you love to see in a cryptid case, is two encounters in one night from different perspectives.
Cross-corroborated evidence.
Because now we have not only Mr. McDaniels, but his whole family, the kids, and the neighbors.
It's so true. I mean, this is the crucial thing, that they all reported the same thing. It would be a little difficult if one person said it was, say, a dog or indeed a frog. But if one of the other witnesses said it was a gray demon, beast of the night, But actually, both of these witnesses got up close and personal. One even got attacked themselves. One even shot a 22 millimeter into it.
Yeah. This thing's having a wild night.
Yeah.
Shredding boys' clothes, getting shot at, running around the railroads, hopping a bunch.
That's, on this paranormal life, that's what we call Friday. But for most people, that's a crazy night.
That's a crazy night. Yeah, very interesting. Also nice to have an encounter right beside the place of the first encounter. Just so we know, there is a definite link between these two cases.
Yeah. Interesting that the police have a code for this. They do classify it as an animal attack. That's probably a good call.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Fun fact, actually, that is the right code. I did look this up. I believe a 1091V is either like an animal attack or vicious animal, or
right,
maybe like animal bite, something like that.
You did serve a lot of time in the Illinois Police Department, so you should know what it is.
I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I just made up my own numbers just for fun.
What? How could that possibly pay off? Whenever the support officers turn up,
it was kind of
they think it's an armed robbery.
It was kind of like a roulette thing. You would just like say, "Oh, I got a 21X,"
and then I'm going on lunch.
And I'm going on lunch.
You guys deal with it.
They're like 21X. Next thing you know, you're watching the news. They've launched the president to Mars. They're like, whoa,
you're eating your sandwich, watching this unfold from a Subway sandwich TV screen.
What could a 21X possibly be? That means the president needs to be evacuated from the planet by himself, by the way. He didn't even have any crew on board. They just lost him in space. 21X sounds like the code you would need to summon the Galactic 12. Like if you call it in, we got a 21, a 21X. And then it's like, there's like a special phone, you know, you have to turn two keys at the same time, maybe like a book on a shelf that opens up a secret passageway to access.
And behind it all, tin cans on a string,
yeah,
straight to the Galactic 12 base, which is next door.
It's a treehouse. Yeah,
it is. Absolutely.
They hang out. The police had arrived at both of these scenes too late. The creature in both cases had escaped, but it wouldn't be the last of the Enfield monster. Flash forward to just over a week later. It's 3 a.m. and Henry McDaniel and his family are sleeping soundly when the neighbor's dogs begin to bark.
Ugh, damn it, stupid dogs, he said as he threw on a robe and headed outside to see what the commotion was.
Out by the neighbor's house, he could see their dogs barking at something emerging from the darkness. It was a 5-foot-tall, little three-legged freak.
Son, grab the 22 mil.
The creature hopped around for a bit, back and forward, before taking off in the direction of the train tracks. And that was all Henry McDaniels needed. From that point onward, he was convinced that this creature was real and went about telling everyone in town about the Enfield monster. He told the stories to locals, newspapers, and even went on live TV. In one press interview, McDaniel said,
"If they do find it, they'll find more than one, and they won't be from this planet, I can tell you."
Well, okay. We're gonna have to slow him down there because he's just seen a hazy shadow of a 5-foot beast in his yard. By all accounts, the same beast, by the way. But he's gone on record to say, there's absolutely more than one, and they're not even from Earth.
He does not have the authority to make either of those statements.
No, I don't think the police would agree with that.
Nothing, at no point in his encounter would any of those points be made clear. There was no reason to assume there'd be more than one.
If anything, it is the paws of a dog. It is very much of this Earth.
It's definitely not from another planet. He even called into local radio station WWKI to talk about the second time he saw the creature.
You're listening to WWKI Illinois with show host Rick Rainbow.
Rick Rainbow.
WWKI.
Rainbow. Oh my God.
Yo, Rick Rainbow here, catching you up on all the local Illinois news. Of course, we're talking about the Enfield monster. Joining us is Henry McDaniels. Talk to us, Henry.
So I saw something moving out on the railroad track, and there it stood. I didn't shoot at it or anything. I started on down the railroad track. It wasn't in a hurry or anything.
radio host Rick Rainbow was so blown away by the story that he himself decided to head out with a crew to see if he could catch a glimpse of the beast.
Wow.
And apparently, he did.
What?
That's right, Rick Rainbow out on the streets, paranormal hunting.
I mean, of course, I'm gonna bring my gun just in case.
The team reported observing an ape-like creature standing in an abandoned building near McDaniel's house. They claimed to have made a recording of the creature's cries and fired a shot at it before it fled.
Of course. Don't want to call some kind of animal control authority, no?
Absolutely not. All sometimes right. You got to take these matters into your own hands.
Okay, sure. It has to die, apparently.
Why does everyone have a gun in this town and very much wants to use it? It's insane. This is interesting. You know, you got someone in the media, obviously a very well-respected radio host, Rick Rainbow, out here looking at this cryptid. And sure, some people will say that it's fake, but all I'm going to say is, as someone who has also had an experience witnessing, observing an ape-like gorilla man, you know, this really hits home for me.
Okay, well, I don't know how similar it is because they said it was like an ape, but at first it was like a toad or a dog or, you know.
Yeah, but I guess my point being is that like this means a lot to me because as I've told you before.
Yeah, you have.
The gorilla man that I saw in Dublin.
A few times, actually. A little too many times for my liking.
The gorilla man that I saw in Dublin.
Yeah, well, okay, my own paranormal You told me, so I don't need to hear it again.
I had a lot of people that didn't believe me and called me crazy.
Yeah, me included, yeah.
But I think if even if I told the story on the podcast.
Where's this going? What's the point of this?
Well, the point is that, you know, that's my paranormal story and that's my, and we're seeing a similar case here. So it kind of links.
I don't know how similar it is because your story, it was just one fucking loser saw it.
Wow.
Whereas in this story, Rick Rainbow saw it. So that's actually a pretty cool guy, pretty jacked, smart guy.
I guess it doesn't really matter who saw it because...
Oh, it does. And there's multiple sources on this one, multiple witnesses. So it's really nothing like
your case. Actually, the whole baseball team...
And your case would never be investigated on this paranormal life because it's a deadbeat case. It's got nothing going for it. It's not entertaining. It's not true.
Well, as I said, I didn't necessarily have a gun in my paranormal encounter, but Rick Rainbow did fire a shot at the beast and it fled. Obviously, this didn't help the situation. A big radio host who's broadcasting to hundreds, nay, thousands of people saying that he himself saw the beast. News of this creature spread like wildfire. In the coming weeks, more and more people came to visit Enfield in the hopes of spotting or killing the monster.
Why so violent?
Some were self-proclaimed monster hunters. Others, just drunken locals with guns.
There's really no difference.
We are, of course, my friends, heading into the territory of full-blown dad squads roaming the streets with their weapons. It escalated to the point where 5 hunters had to be arrested for essentially opening fire into the woods after seeing a gray object.
I just want to thank the Illinois police for trying to stop some of this. If I owned a gun, I don't know how it works that in the States. I feel like if I owned a gun...
I think you're the law now.
No, I would be so terrified. No, that you have the mentality of the monster hunter, it seems like.
I control the future. When I have the gun.
Of time?
Yeah, of time. And space, probably.
I would assume that if I so much as fired the gun once, that the police were going to descend on me in seconds.
That might be a UK thing.
Yeah.
I was born in America. But I don't remember gunfire being a huge part of it.
Yeah.
But maybe it's not as weird a thing.
Because you're born there. It's like the opposite of a water birth. It's like a gunfire birth.
Yeah, when I came out healthy, they were like, it's a boy! Yeah, I think it freaks me out because every bullet has to go somewhere, you know? Even if you're firing your gun up into the sky, that's coming down somewhere pretty fast, actually. So having the audacity to think it is fine to open fire into the woods because you saw a gray object.
You're in the woods.
Yeah.
If you're wondering what could possibly be in the woods, you're in the woods. Someone could be doing the same thing back at you.
This non-stop stream of gun-toting maniacs eventually prompted local sheriff Roy Poshard Jr. to pay a little visit to Henry McDaniel and tell him, look,
You need to keep your mouth shut about this monster, or I will be forced to incarcerate you.
Whoa.
This, of course, had no effect whatsoever. World-renowned cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman even visited the town and listened to the recording Rick Rainbow had made. She would later tell the press, "I traveled to Enfield." I don't know if she's British. "I traveled to Enfield, interviewed the witnesses, looked at the side of the house the Enfield monster had damaged, heard some strange screeching, banshee-like sounds, and walked away bewildered." So I don't think she got a lot from visiting the town.
Okay. I mean, anyone would have been bewildered. I don't know where the cryptozoologist expert side of things comes into it there, but...
Yeah, I do really like the idea of her getting on the plane, going to Enfield, listening to the recordings, looking at all the scratches, and then she's sitting on the plane back home being like, "What the f*** was that? I have no clue what's going on."
It's like a fever dream. It's interesting that the police tried to shut him down because this is, listen, that's MIB behavior.
Yeah.
Trying to silence a paranormal witness.
Oh, yeah. Textbook.
But, you know, we do sympathize with the local police here because we just heard testament that vigilantes were just firing into the woods. And you can't have that. Listen, it ain't safe.
It's true.
So, you know, it's kind of interesting. This is there's a cover up, but maybe for this safety and well-being of the local people.
Yeah, if I was Mr. McDaniels and the police chief comes to me and tells me to stop spreading the truth, to stop warning people, I'd be like this. I'd be like, "Hey, Mr. Police Officer, it's kind of weird. When you just knocked on my door there, it sounded a bit like scratches, my friend. And your little..."
Mr. McDaniel, I don't know where this is going. I do not. I have white eyes. My wife says I have beautiful blue eyes.
It'd be a real shame.
Are you threatening a police officer, sir?
No, no, I'm just saying.
Because we have my coworker here, Mr. Samuel.
Oh,
he's a witness.
Hello.
Yes, he's a police chief here locally, and he's a witness to what is going on. And this looks a lot like you're trying to...
No. You're getting the wrong end of the stick here. Can we sidebar for a second? Just over here for 1 minute?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to fucking kill you, dude.
Okay, Mr. Samuels can hear that.
Oh,
I can hear the whole thing. In fact, are recording. We record every interview here in Illinois as standard practice.
Wow. So, all right.
You know, just listen, Mr. McDaniel, if I can call you that, because it's your name.
Yeah, and you're the authority here.
We're on your side. We just want there to be peace here in town, and we're not trying to shut you down. Listen, I believe in the monster.
Great.
If I could just get a verbal agreement out of you that you will stop firing into the woods.
I promise you, sir, that I will not fire my gun any more times into the woods. Quick sidebar, though, just over here.
Yes.
I f***ing lied, asshole.
Okay, we're taking you downtown.
Oh, God. I'm leaning into the police officer's recording mic.
And make sure you get this, you f***. Demon assholes.
It's like hard cut to now me sitting in the witness box at court, them playing back the recordings.
"And yeah, if you try and fucking arrest me, I will struggle and I will kill everyone."
And that is, of course, Exhibit A, the recording where the suspect basically announced that he was going to commit the murder. In hindsight, that was not the smartest idea.
But who's wearing a wire now? We already record everything that gets said in court.
Now, I will say that even though that's pretty much most of, if not all, the main sightings for the Enfield Monster, around 1941, there was a series of similar sightings in the small village of Mount Vernon, which is less than 40 miles away from Enfield. Now, these sightings were of a mysterious leaping cryptid that was supposedly responsible for a number of animal deaths and mutilations in the region.
Interesting. Textbook cryptid, dangerous cryptid behavior, animal mutilation.
Yeah. The locals called this creature the Mount Vernon Monster and described it as being vaguely baboon-like in appearance and being able to leap anywhere from 20 to 40 feet in a single bound.
All right. Interesting that we've gone a little bit from dog-like to ape-like.
Yeah.
Some monkey characteristics going on here, which could explain some of the jumping.
Yeah, you can see that. Maybe that third leg is also a bit of a tail, like a monkey's tail. It's hard to know. I will say that obviously These sightings were in 1941, whereas the sightings of the Enfield Monster are in the 1970s. So we're, I mean, this guy's in his 30s at this point. Minimum.
Yeah, minimum, and that's 30s. That's him killing cattle in the 40s as a baby.
Yeah.
So, it's possible that it's an older monster.
It's true. Unfortunately, that's kind of where the trail goes cold, which isn't really a good sign if the other example of sightings you have are not even in the same location or the same time.
They just both jump.
Yeah, they both are just jumping cryptids.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But we have such a damn convincing paranormal tale from Henry McDaniel and Rick Rainbow and everyone who came in contact with the beast. We had scratches on the door that the police had seen, and the neighbors next door even saying that their little boy was attacked by the monster. What are you thinking, Kit?
This is a weird case because we started off so strong. We started off with three different witnesses of the same beast almost the same night, quickly corroborated by the local radio DJ, someone in the media, someone with credibility to lose, who also went out there, put their ass on the line with their gun and their friends, went out hunting the beast, saw it, and said it was true.
Yeah.
So a bunch of people all in the beginning saying this thing's real, but then it seems to taper off real quick. We don't see any other physical evidence for this thing existing after that point. Leaves us in a tricky situation as investigators trying to decide whether this is real or not, because are those initial sightings good enough for us to say this is real?
Yeah, definitely. And again, little bit damning here that even though we mention all this evidence, the scratches, the footprints of the three legs with the six toes, I searched pretty intensely and I pretty much couldn't find anything. I couldn't find pictures of the scratches. There was something that looked like someone had mocked up what the six-toed prints would look like. But there's no physical evidence, really, that we're looking at here. Word of mouth. We're looking at all the other parts of the Golden Pyramid of Truth.
Golden Pyramid of Truth. That's true. That is true. But yet we do still, like you mentioned, like physical evidence.
I think it's time to come down on a conclusion. Because we could sit here all day and go back and forth. I think it's time to make a decision. This week, looking into the case of the Enfield Monster, it is, from me, personally, a no.
It's a monkey.
It's
also a no.
Well, it's probably not a monkey because the thing had three legs and six toes. I've already said, unless it's a genetic.
There have been other sightings in parts of the British Isles. I don't want to be too specific because it's probably going to be an upcoming investigation that I'm working quite hard on. But there were sightings in the 90s in, I might as well say it, Dublin, Ireland, of a monkey cryptid.
And sorry, you're doing this case? What?
I don't know which case you're talking about.
You're looking into a case of a monkey.
Yeah.
In Dublin.
Not a monkey.
A gorilla man.
Well, I wouldn't go as far to say gorilla
After
man.
After all the times that you told me not to
hold
do
on
my
a second. Your story is gobbledygook. It is fantasy. But there are credible witnesses from a young baseball team.
That's my team! That's my team. Those are the ones I was with.
This is a team of winners. There's no way a loser like you would be on the team.
My story. That's my life. I was the witness.
This is definitely a different story. I don't know why you think these would be the same, because the story I'm working on, this big story, which I think is going to be the first triple parter we've ever done.
What's happening? Well, look, at least, at the very least, I know that next week it'll be a double yes. That'll at least guarantee me that, which unfortunately, it is not this week. We're looking at a double no. This is a great case. I love the creature. I love the story. I love the characters that went and investigated the beast. There's nothing there. It's like eating a sandwich that you just buttered two slices of bread and put it together. There's nothing in it. There's not even like a friggin' grape in the middle of it. I don't know. I can think of anything that goes in a sandwich.
Right. Well, a grape, that would be, to be fair, that's the minimum to make something a sandwich. It's the smallest little piece
of
something.
Maybe a raisin or a peanut.
Ooh, a single raisin sandwich.
A peanut sandwich. This case is a peanut sandwich. There's really nothing in there except a little nugget of just stories and rumors. I didn't want to include this until the very end. I think even the boy who was attacked by the creature came out and said he lied. And he made that up just to make the story more exciting.
Bold of you to leave that out until the end.
And bold of me to tell the story as if the police officers had just heard about the first sighting when they were at the second sighting. Obviously they hadn't, because the boy made it up. So just wrapping that up, nice little bow, tying all those loose ends together.
That is suspension of disbelief, and that is Hollywood, baby.
That's it, you know. Look, we will always give you the right answer, which is a yes or a no as to whether or not something is paranormal. But we will do mad shit on the way. Mm-hmm. And that's what this podcast is about. It's like getting a taxi ride from a freaking baboon.
Yeah.
This son of a bitch he's in the wrong lane. He's got bananas on his mind. He's f***ing wild. But
does he get you to the right location at least?
Sometimes, half the time. This analogy is kind of getting away from me a little bit.
So are you saying that we don't get to the right destination half the time?
I'm saying that we do our best. Like that monkey.
Does the baboon, it sounds like he's got bananas on his mind
for sure. He's actually not really invested in the taxi. He's not even there a lot of the time because you can't keep him in a small enclosure. But like that monkey, sometimes we will get you to the right place, and I think that's what we did this week. We took a crazy ride with a baboon driver and we got to Double No City, which is exactly where we needed to go for this case. So thank you for listening. Wow, I crushed that analogy. That was perfect, man. I should be like a friggin' poet or something. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Obviously, we'll be back next week with another story. But before we go, we want to tell you about a little thing called Patreon.com. That's right, my friends, because like the monkey, we've got bananas on our mind. But the bananas are money. It was so perfect.
It's
the first
not a
time
very,
I told
I'll
this.
Say it's not elegant. It's not an elegant analogy. We could probably just tell them straight up what Patreon is. We don't even need an analogy,
Let's not ditch it just yet, because I feel like I might be able to rein it back.
The same one? All right.
The same one. All right,
go for it.
So like the bananas are money, and we need to make the show costs money and time.
Say it costs bananas, because that's
it costs bananas,
true.
And I guess time is...
That's fine.
What's time to a monkey?
It's time. Monkeys live in time.
Sure.
As well.
Okay.
Money being bananas is kind of fine. Let's just stick to that.
All right. So for as little as 5 bananas a month, you can get some sweet bonus content, guys. We don't run ads on this podcast, so we don't get any bananas from ads. The only way we can get our bananas is from the support of our lovely zookeepers over at patreon.com. So if you are enjoying the podcast, you want to get some awesome rewards like bonus episodes, merch, bananas. No, you don't get bananas. We get bananas.
Because that makes it sound like we give people money.
It's really getting away from me here. Just head on over to patreon.com and check it out. You're going to love it. It's great. And obviously, at the end of our podcast, what we like to do is give a special shout out to some of the people that support us on Patreon.
Special thank you to Francisco the Roofer Batista. Francisco, the man with the roofing plan.
Nice.
This guy could do any type of roof you want. Pointy roof, flat roof.
That's pretty much
Sistine Chapel.
Whoa, what?
He can't do that. I'm f***ing with you, because that was Michelangelo. That was one of a kind. Of course, Francisco couldn't do anything like that. But, Pretty good roof guy.
Francisco, I insist you do my roof. I insist you do my roof.
Thank you also to Robert Heaney.
Robert Heaney, the big bad meanie. This guy is a jerk to everyone. Even like kids, mall Santas, you know, the sweetest, kindest people on the earth.
Mall Santas are, they should get Nobel Peace Prizes.
They absolutely should. And he's horrible to them. He sits on their lap and he's like, here's what I want for Christmas. I want you to shut the fuck up.
Oh my God.
It's like, what are you doing, man? He's taking time out of his day. Don't be such a meanie.
Thank you to Andy Birch.
Andy Birch likes to perch on on branches, like a little bird.
Like a little gargoyle, more like.
Oh God, yeah. People find it weird, but some people find it charming, you know? It's almost like a yoga pose.
It's not charming.
It's a little weird.
Because he doesn't have to screw up his face like a gargoyle, but he does it.
He really doubled down on the gargoyle part of it, which, you know, hey, you do you, man.
Thank you to Sarah the Barbarian. Sarah the Barbarian, really more of his name. She kind of calls herself that to scare people off.
Freak them out.
She's actually sweet. Yeah, she is. She's very chill. Doesn't have a violent bone in her body. But you tell people you're a barbarian, they don't f*** with you.
They don't mess with you. That's smart. I've been telling people I'm a Teletubby, and they pretty much want to throw down immediately. So I need to learn from her.
Thank you to Michelle Martin.
Come on down to Michelle Shells. That's right, the beach shack that's got it all. All types of shells.
Okay,
not everything. Very limited stock as well on the shells.
What?
Yeah.
All right, well,
she's massively
inland.
That's
good because I'm not... Okay, I'm not picky though. So can I just get any shell of any kind?
We have driftwood, sea glass.
What? You don't know if you...
We're out of shells. There's no more shells left.
Shells, out of shells.
Michelle does sell shells, but they're sold out.
Thank you to Daniel Morrison. Daniel isn't really into Yu-Gi-Oh! That's more his son.
What?
Daniel Moore his son.
Oh, Moore his son. Oh, that's pretty good.
Not really into Yu-Gi-Oh! But he does have all 5 cards of Exodia.
So he's massively into Yu-Gi-Oh!
No, he first booster pack.
The first
got
pack!
Got the 5 parts of Exodia.
Oh my God. That's insane.
He is a god for that, yes. Thank you to Stephanie Viewegg. Stephanie, we're new to the luxury egg market, but we would love to view egg.
We would love to view egg. If you have any egg available, we would like to view egg. We all know that the paranormal commune is low on eggs, so if we could schedule an appointment ASAP, that would be great.
In fact, just skip egg. We need to view eggs.
Yeah.
Plural. Thank you also to Lewis Clark.
Lewis Clark loves the dark. He spent so much time in the dark, he's developed bat eyes. Wait, bats are blind. He's developed bat ears, sonar. Wow. That's right. He's pretty much got night vision G's in his brain, which is crazy. He's not using that for anything valuable, really. He just plays like beer pong in the dark, reads in the dark. He's not really like doing the whole Batman thing or anything. Listen to podcasts in the dark, which we can all do. You don't need light to do that.
No.
But he's having a good time.
The ears get in the way because they don't work on normal shit.
His bat ears are now so sensitive, he can barely even listen to it without bursting his eardrums.
It's honestly kind of annoying because we have to release a bat edition of the podcast every week just for him.
Yeah.
Thank you also to Daniel Gomez.
We gotta go-res Daniel Gomez, because this guy can't play video games to save his life. He's always down. He always needs to be resurrected.
By his homies.
You gotta learn how to stay alive, dude, or at least play the healer.
Just be the healer, then you know.
You do the resin.
But then when he dies, it's even more.
That is super because then you don't have any healers. Yeah, just do some practice, more practice.
Thank you too, Paul McNaughton. They call him Tall Paul on account of how tall he is compared to, well, his small family. He is 3 foot nothing, but the family, they're ants.
Absolute ants.
Literal ants.
His brothers, Small Paul Jr., he's obviously Small Paul, Tall Paul Sr., you'd think that would be the name of the dad, but weirdly they gave Sr. to the kid.
Makes sense.
Because he's so damn tall. They call the dad Baby. It's weird. Weird family.
Thank you also to Devlin.
Devlin's always inviting the devil in.
That's bad.
Bad idea.
Not you good.
Don't do that. You want the other one. God.
Whatever his name is.
But you seem like you're having a pretty decent time with him, hanging out, watching anime. So just keep it going, but keep an eye on him. He's a sneaky little bastard.
Thanks also to Frisian Cow. I don't know if we've ever had a cow in the This Paranormal Life Secret Society or Commune.
That is utterly ridiculous.
Hey! do you have any friends, animal friends who may have eggs? Frisian Cow,
but very true.
Again, we really could do with some. So if you have that farmyard connect, let us know.
He's like, well, I have like 20 gallons of milk. get that shit out of my sight.
Don't care.
We need eggs. I don't want your milk. I want cheese and butter.
Thanks also to Tyler Forrester.
Tyler Forrester is a Tarzan man. He lives in the wild. He eats in the wild. He poops in the wild. He's an untamed, probably raised by gorillas. I think that's what Tarzan was as well.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. You picked a good species to be raised by.
And it is cool because if Tarzan taught us anything, it's that even if you are raised by gorillas, if you are handsome, you have cool hair, the chicks will dig that.
Yeah.
Thank you also to Marcelo Pellegrino.
Marcelo is a hard sell, yo. He's a tough guy to pitch to people. You're like, hey, I got this guy.
Okay.
His name's Marcelo.
I'd love to meet him.
I think you'd really get along well.
Yeah, I bet.
He's super into crystals.
Okay, you're losing me a little. But, you know, I'm not so into those. But I guess we might
have something
else to
talk
about.
His favorite food is salt.
Okay, well, that's a problem because we're going to... But, you know, we can eat what we're going to eat at the dinner party.
And crayons. He eats crayons.
Yeah, that's...
See what I mean? It's hard.
That's
all he does.
I don't think I want to be friends.
He's got literally no other defining characteristics.
Jesus. Thank you also to Gareth Ramsey.
Kablamsy Ramsey. This guy is on edge 24/7, ready to go. You're the slightest inconvenience, and he kablams. He goes absolutely buck wild.
Learn to meditate or something, Gareth. God
he needs
damn.
To chill out for sure.
Thanks also to Brandon Da Silva. Brandon, stop settling for Da Silva. We need to get you going for Da Gold.
Of course.
Listen, you're one of the best competitive skiers in the world. We all know that. We've known that for a long time.
Yeah.
You just need to believe in yourself. I'm going to be your sports psychologist. We can do this. You can get the gold. Thank you too, Soapy Days.
Do you ever just have one of those soapy days?
No.
Where you just soap up?
The f*** is that?
I don't know. You know, you just like, instead of like going to work or like playing video games, like watching TV, you just soap up.
No.
Okay. No, me neither. That would be weird. That would be super weird.
Thank you also to Joe Frisbee.
Often confused with Joe Boomerang, the friend who will always come back. Joe Frisbee never returns. He will just like up and leave his family one day.
Yeah, you meet him for the first time. He's like, shake his hand. Oh, hey, nice to meet you. You don't even get the last name Frisbee before he has 180 and gone down the street.
Absolutely.
Thank you to Joe K.
Joe K is always Joe Kang. Making zingers left, right, and center. It's like a comedy festival up in here. I mean, you could be delivering, I mean, just heart devastating news. Your family passed away in a tragic car accident.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, hey, well, fuck them. I could.
And they're not always good zingers.
They're not always good zingers. Sometimes it's just a comical statement. Obviously, he'd usually come up with something a little more clever than that. Because he's a jokester. He's Joe Kang.
Thank you, lastly but not leastly, to Connor Clappison.
Connor loves to clap his son. Just for everything he does. His son has a bowl of cereal. You eat that cereal, champ.
You earned it.
You know, his son got detention at school. Good job, boy. It's a little...
Well,
you can see how this is confusing.
Yeah, it's not good.
His son gets arrested for drink driving, possibly killing the family that we just talked about earlier. Clap it out.
Oh, well, don't clap for that. For God's sake, he's in the dark.
This child is very confused. He doesn't know what's good and what's bad anymore. But luckily, we do. And what's good is This Paranormal Life,
hey,
which couldn't exist with all of the lovely support from the people that we have mentioned. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. And as always, we will be back next week with a brand new paranormal tale.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.